Who says the dream and the romance have gone out of the cup? Certainly no one at Whitecliff FC.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley and I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And live from the FA headquarters, it's Terry.
Hi, hello there. Hello there from the FA headquarters.
Yes, Terry DeFillon there, live at the FA headquarters, a long time after the draw has taken place for the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. Terry, what was the atmosphere like there earlier? It was John Motson and Danny Murphy doing the honours. What was it like to be in the presence of greatness?
Well, I mean, I'd love to say that it was the most amazing experience that I've ever had in football drawing history. However, I went to Soho Square and the FA are now based at Wembley. So I unfortunately missed the draw. Sorry about that.
You went to the Dog and Duck, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Well, I mean, in fairness, I only work about 5 minutes walk from Soho Square, so I thought I'd go there. But of course, the FA moved to Wembley some years ago.
It's terrible.
Sorry about that.
That's fine. Well, that's just ruined everything, isn't it, really? There was us going to have our man on the spot, and now we have this. But hey, nothing can ruin our mood at the moment, though, can it, Jan?
Certainly not, no.
You know, because we are positively bubbling, aren't we?
We are buzzing.
Tell the listeners at home why we're so happy.
Well, we're buzzing because Whiteleaf are continuing on a fabulous FA Cup run, and they're now into the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup.
Yes.
And that is massive.
That is massive. Yeah.
Well, I mean, only Jungle is massive, but it is still pretty big.
I think this is almost as big as Jungle, isn't it?
It's pushing Jungle, I think, as far as it can go, isn't it?
I think if we win this tie and go into the first round, something they haven't done, they've only ever done once before, did it in 1999. If Whiteleaf managed to get into the first round proper, that will be as big as Jungle. It's got to be, isn't it?
I think we can declare it as big as Jungle, if not bigger. Yeah. We might have to say Whiteleaf is massive.
Well, there you go, listeners. We are on the verge of something actually massive happening. Listeners outside of England, or those who aren't steeped in the lore of the ancient competition that is the FA Cup, may not know how deep it actually goes. Now, you might be aware that the big clubs come into the competition in January. It's usually the first weekend of January. Mm. That's when the teams from the Championship and the Premier League all come into the competition. They come into the third round, and that's a round of 64 teams. Joining them are the teams from the first two rounds and this whole raft of teams that play the early rounds of the competition, the preliminary rounds and the qualifying rounds. This is when 600 teams are eliminated from the competition in this part. This is where the majority of action takes place in the FA Cup, isn't it, Terry?
In many ways, this is the climax of the non-league season, really, because there's so much at stake. It's not just the prestige and the magic, the glamour of the FA Cup, but the significant amount of wedge that is involved in winning these rounds. It makes for a really interesting time because in a lot of people's, like in the league seasons, everyone's season's still getting started, really. I mean, we're getting into October, so things are moving along nicely, but we still are sort of like in that early season phase. But really, if you're a non-league fan and if you win one or two FA Cup games, this really is arguably the most important time of your season because this is where you can make some real money and enjoy some real, real glory and some wonderful times. But we had a fantastic time at the game and it was a wonderful moment. I mean, like it was a feeling of real success and achievement. And we were able to share that with the players as well.
We've been going to Whiteleaf for the best part of a decade now. Mm. That was one of the best games that we've seen there, isn't it? Or it's one of the most important for the club that we've seen in the time that we've been going.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be one step away from playing a potentially a really big club. I'm not going to say it.
We did say this, didn't we?
We did. But yeah, no, it was really important. I wouldn't say it was the best match of a game of football I've seen.
Yeah.
But I think certainly what it meant, and as Terry, I think, alluded to there at the end when the game was over, you know, the small band of Whiteleaf fans were rewarded for their loyalty and their travelling by all of the players coming back and past and shaking our hands, which I thought was a really wonderful touch. And, you know, it genuinely meant something to them that we'd shared that moment with them. And I thought that was really beautiful. It was a real moment.
Yeah, there was 250 there. Abbey Rangers FC, based in Addlesden, which is on the west side of London, just south of Heathrow. And it was a lovely club. They're actually one tier below Whiteleaf even. So this is a step five club in what is in the level that is just above the county level. They play in the combined counties league. Lovely ground.
Oh, lovely facilities.
Lovely facilities there, and a great reception there. The people there are really, really friendly and nice, as they are in the non-league community. Mm. Now, Jan, it is serious though now, because we've gone from playing teams around our own level. Mm. Now, the draw came out today and we'll be playing, it's not the most glamorous tie, but it's going to be a very tough tie. Whiteleaf will be playing at home and they'll be playing either Chippenham or Slough. Now, they're teams in the National League South, which, if you don't know, non-league, that's the second level of non-league. That's the level under what used to be the Conference. It's the Conference South. That's what it used to be called. Now, if they win that, and that's a very, very, very big if, hopefully home advantage will help Whiteleaf out. But win that, and we could be drawn away to Sunderland.
It could be, yeah.
How does that make you feel, Ian?
Well, I'll take that when it comes. I mean, I think the draw's been it's been good for Whiteleaf because they've got a home tie. Now we're into, you know, a serious competition.
Yeah.
And it's been wonderful up to this point. We had a great day on Saturday. But this, as Terry said, this could end up being the pinnacle of Whiteleaf's season. Let's hope it's not.
Yeah.
But this is like going into a semi final of an FA Cup. Do you know what I mean? You're going to play a big side. You got a real chance at the big time.
Yeah.
And of course, if they are successful, yeah, they could be playing, you know, a professional outfit, and they could, you know, I mean, Sunderland happened to be, I was going to say temporarily, but I think it's probably forever trapped in the lower leagues. But you could end up playing a seriously big side, and I mean, it would be great to bring a big side to Whiteleaf. I don't think the infrastructure is going to cope with too many visiting supporters, but to be able to take the Whiteleaf Massive on the road to a league ground would be fantastic. It's a big hurdle to clear.
Yeah.
But let's hope that they do it.
Terry, I mean, like, this is what the FA Cup's all about, though. It's daring to dream, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And even at this early stage of the competition, I mean, obviously Whiteleaf are not going to win, but qualifying for the first round of the FA Cup for a non-league team, or certainly a team at Whiteleaf's level, that is. I would imagine that is a similar feeling to actually, you know, maybe making it to the final of the actual competition itself. I'll know more if we win, because then I'll be able to compare the sensations for when Palace, on the rare occasions, have made it to the final of the actual competition of the FA Cup. But I think I said earlier that the combination of obviously great income, money that comes into the club, but also genuine glory. You know, walking back from the ground, leaving the stadium on Saturday and feeling that flush of real glory. And it's not something that you associate. Well, frankly, it's not really something that most football fans experienced, because most football fans, football clubs don't tend to do a great deal. But, you know, for a non-league club to get that kind of feeling was really very special. I'm very glad that so many of us and our chums as well were able to come along so we could share that moment together, because we've watched an awful lot of Whiteleaf play and we have had some great moments. When we won the league a few years ago, that was a great moment. But I think this trumps this so far.
I'd have to agree with that there. I mean, I suppose recency is always going to help out with that. But
sure.
I think it was obvious Whiteleaf were the favourites to actually win that game, but it still had that sense of we're actually part of something bigger here. This isn't just Whiteleaf winning. This is Whiteleaf going through into the competition and progressing and feeling that we're actually on a journey. It's all part of that journey. Do you think that the format of the competition helps with that? Or do you think that it could be democratised even more? Why do we have this drawn-out qualification process when we could just put all of the teams in a hat at once and just draw them out in any old hell? Do you think that would be a good thing, yeah?
It would, yeah, probably would be, actually. It would be brilliant if you could have someone like Whiteleaf drawn against Liverpool at home.
Yeah.
No, that would be fantastic. I'm not quite sure how it would... Well, yeah, why not? Why not? I mean, obviously, the way that it's done now is to give the lower league and non-league sides a chance to take part in a historic competition. And yeah. as you said, there's hundreds of teams that are whittled down just to two in the end. And that's, I think the length of it is something that's quite special. I'm not sure if anything of this ilk exists anywhere else in the world. I don't know. But it does, it seems like it makes sense the way they do it. If you're involved at this level, I think it can make it quite magical rather than just, you know, you suddenly pitch up in the third round if you're in the top two divisions and go, oh, right, here we go. And it's like, it's dreary, it's January, and you don't really want to be doing it. And, you know, if you get knocked out, you know, for some clubs, it's not the end of the world. Whereas there's all this stuff that's happened before, all these highs and lows. I mean, by the time it gets to the third round, and somebody's, you know, rolling their eyes because they've got to go and play Swansea away in the third round, will have not known all of the wonderful things that happened before. They won't know about our special day.
Yeah.
That'll all be lost. It's a shame that it gets lost like that, but it's part of the journey, and it's good to that Whiteleaf are going to potentially be a part of that.
Yeah, I suppose, Terry, if you did just have all the teams in one big pot, that doesn't make anything special about going on a journey like Whiteleaf have this season, as they did 20 years ago.
No, and you also making it harder for the professional clubs and for the higher tier clubs because they have to join the competition a lot earlier. Presumably, they'd have to join the competition a lot earlier because there's just so many teams to get drawn in. I'm not quite sure what that would do with the scheduling of the competition. I can see some upside. So, yeah, I mean, if Whiteleaf drew, say, Liverpool at home, that would be fairly amazing. But, I mean, I think the reality is there's no way that a non-league club is going to be able to host a Premier League football team in a competitive fixture unless it's under certain special circumstances. I mean, if you get a significant number of non-league teams drawn against, say, Premier League Championship teams, a lot of them are going to have to rearrange the location, the venue. They're going to have to move stadium, rather. And it's just not going to be quite the same. And I think that this kind of playoff, I said, this massive sort of national scale playoff with all of these non-league clubs all playing off against each other to get to, you know, the first round, I think adds a little bit more drama and creates more realistic ties, frankly, at this point. Now, the few that do make it through to, say, the third round, well, that's fine. Arrangements can be made, you know, and it can be sorted out. But, I mean, I'm quite comfortable with the format of the FA Cup. I like these games. I like going into an FA Cup game thinking, here we go, lads, you know, this is day one. And it's always disappointing when we lose them, but it's always fun, you know, when we go through. I mean, it was so disappointing last season when we were knocked out because of the ineligible player, and we did so disappointed that we did an entire podcast on the subject.
I like
that was the curse back then, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I like it to think that this is the antidote to that episode. So,
Yeah, maybe it's the Whiteleaf blessing.
Maybe it is.
Maybe there'll be a prominent listener who will pick up on that. Maybe write some podcasts and say, "Are you aware of the Whiteleaf blessing?" We shall see.
Maybe. Shall see. You know what to do, Andy.
Yeah. We've not forgotten, Andy.
No, not at all.
And we never will.
As well as that, though, if you had it in the format where you chucked everyone together, you'd have something like you see in the early stages of the League Cup and also the Checker Trade, where, you know, bigger clubs are just putting in their under-21s, playing their under-21s in it. And it, so then if you are drawn against Liverpool away and you're like, great, we're going to play against Salah and Mane and all of those guys, and you're playing against their kids, you're kind of like, well, was it really worth it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We've come all this way and we don't recognise anyone here.
Yeah, and we're being stuffed 4-0 by their under-17s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's good that we have this conversation, though. So people that looking from the outside sort of think, well, why the hell do they do it like this? And could be done a better way. Things always can, can't they? But where it goes from here is the fact that you get the 650-odd non-league sides that go into the competition. They're whittled down to 32. And it's such a massive clear out just to distill them down to these few ones. There aren't that many clubs the same level as Leaf left in the competition. And Leaf are the only one of those at the moment who have been drawn at home. Canvey might be drawn at home. They've still got a replay against Burs and Pitsy. Now, at the moment, Whiteleaf have won four games to get where they are now. They won the preliminary round in the first three qualifying rounds. Now, of course, if you're a championship club and you win four games in the competition, you're in the semi-finals. So that's the sort of level it is for Whiteleaf. Mm. There's a large sum of money, isn't there, Terry, that's already rolled into the coffers for Whiteleaf?
Yeah, and there's more to come. I mean, it's something in the region of £17,000 to £18,000 already, and significantly more than that if they win, and still an extra 6,000 if they lose. To listeners unfamiliar with the non-league scene, that may seem like small beer, but I can assure you that sets you up for the season. It can have a transformative effect on the season. And in Whiteleaf's case, it's interesting because Harry Hudson's the coach. He has an academy of players who have not been able to get professional contracts. And he's got this kind of, I don't know whether it's unflattering to call it this, but a kind of second chance kind of academy for them. And some of those players turn out for Whiteleaf. And that also explains maybe why we've been doing so well, because some of the players we've got are really good. And I would argue are certainly ought to be playing at a higher level, which I think is benefiting Whiteleaf greatly. But the problem is they're not really getting paid very much. And so hopefully we'll see the players will get, you know, the rewards financially that they deserve from this great competition. It's also why it's important that the competition continue to maintain its integrity later on. And it is a bit frustrating, and I'm being a bit hypocritical here, being a supporter of a Premier League club, that Premier League clubs do these days, they tend to place the importance of the FA Cup as secondary to the Premier League. If that keeps happening, then the danger is that the sponsorship can drop, and as a consequence, the prize money can drop. And then it has this knock-on effect on the grassroots. And the FA Cup raises huge amounts of money. That's not just for the actual non-league clubs, but also for grassroots football in general. And that's why it's an incredibly important, and also, I have to say, a very, very democratic, you know, institution, the FA Cup. It's something that does need to be preserved. It behooves Premier League clubs to try their best to try and win this competition rather than sort of arrive at the final, which, you know, tends to happen. I think that was what was so refreshing about Watford getting to it last year, even though it all went horribly wrong for them, because it was clearly something that mattered a great deal to them.
The prize money that Whiteleaf have earned so far has probably around about the same as them having an extra 250 season tickets.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be potentially tripling the gate every week for a season. That's the level of money they've earned so far. Were they to get into the first round, they'd probably win another 18 grand, I think, is the prize money, the fourth qualifying round. But should they end up on the telly, they would earn another £70,000, which would dwarf everything that they've won so far in prize money.
Mm. So and let's be honest, if they would end up on the telly, wouldn't they?
Probably, yeah. If they were drawn at home, almost definitely.
Just to clarify, that it means you're selected for a live fixture rather than you appear on the highlight show. You're
That's a live fixture, event. Yeah. I think it's 70,000 for a live game, 35 if it's a replay. So that's if it's one of the four games that BT cover or the game that BBC will cover.
Right. That is astronomical. I mean, that's
for a club like Whiteleaf, yeah, it is. And yeah. You can see, yeah, obviously, as it gets the money does go up later on in the rounds. But I think even at the third round, it doubles. I think it's about 150,000, which for a Premier League side, yeah, they'll probably think, well, that's small beer. We get about 1 million for having a league game cameras here. So you can see why, if you just look at it coldly and look at the numbers, that for Premier League sides, it doesn't stack up. If you really want to go on that run to Wembley, if you want to do what Watford did last year and get spanked in the final, then you are going to have to make priorities maybe near the end of the season when you could be battling relegation.
Mm, exactly. I think the result of the final last year was unfortunate, really. I mean, there's no knock in City, but I think Troy Deeney said this. We didn't get there because we won a lottery ticket.
No.
We got there because we deserved to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then they got there and, you know, what happened, which was a real shame. And I think that probably didn't help the competition, having a result like that in the final. It really doesn't help it at all. It's probably not going to help when the big clubs arrive on the scene in January for them to potentially, they could look at that and go, well, do we won, as you say, it's not worth much every match, even if you're on the telly. And even if we get that far, do we really want to have our pants pulled down by one of the big boys who are only turning it on the final?
People say, oh, clubs don't really treat you with any respect, but the last winners have all been the big six clubs, haven't they? Mm. They've dominated this competition for years now. I'm trying to think of the last team outside of that actually won it. probably got to go back to Portsmouth, haven't you?
It's just become probably because of the strength and depth of their squads. I mean, a lot of clubs, you know, as we saw last season.
Wigan.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, if you've got a big old squad, you can afford in the early rounds. And as well as that, if you treat it as it's nice to have and it's secondary, as Derry said, to the Premier League, then you can just chuck your kids out, and that might get you through. If you get to that kind of quarterfinals, where you go, well, okay, we'll turn it on now. It takes a level of wealth to be able to do that, which is, again, demeans the competition somewhat.
Terry, who do you think is most to blame for bringing the competition down?
I don't know whether or not I'd frame it like that, but you've asked the question in that manner, so I'll answer it in that spirit, and that is the Premier League. I think the Premier League's the prize money for the Premier League now, the consequences for failure in the Premier League are so disastrous for football clubs that the worry is if you prioritise a competition like the FA Cup, then you're in danger of not achieving your targets there. And I mean, I as a consequence, it's the club chairman, the club boards that then speak to the coaches and say to the coaches, right, we want you to prioritise Premier League. That's the most important thing. If we do go on a cup run, that's nice, but you must prioritise that. And then the coach will then make, you know, selection decisions based on those instructions that he's been given. And it's money, ultimately. The irony being is money is an important component of the FA Cup, but also it's the same reason why it doesn't necessarily enjoy the prestige that it used to have.
But the FA Cup still has some level of importance because people care whether or not people care about it. If no one cared about the competition, people wouldn't say things like, oh, people don't treat this competition with respect anymore. So it must have a lot of love out there. People must still care about this competition because people don't really care about the League Cup or the EFL Trophy or even the Europa League, really.
No, they don't. It's great, I think, that we're having this conversation well ahead of someone like the BBC who'll be having this conversation in January. or maybe slightly before that, but certainly not now. It's, I mean, it holds a special, especially if you're from the UK and you've watched the build up on a Saturday as it used to be when you were a kid, and that build up would start probably at noon, probably a little bit before that, and would roll the way right the way through the day, and it just felt like a really special day. The FA Cup Final Day is still a really special day for me in the year. I really love it.
Yeah.
I've not enjoyed it so much of late when it's been on later. It's not the end of the world. It's the day is still special. And you make it special as well because you have parties occasionally for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good. It's good that that's been kept alive. It's a shame my son will grow up in a world where he will not ever know that that was one of the biggest days of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a shame that that's dropped off.
Yeah, the proliferation of live coverage of football has changed all that, hasn't it? Oftentimes, that was the only live game that was on telly, wasn't it? Not even the League Cup was shown live.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's at the heart of it. And I mean, you could, if you wanted to, you could make the argument that if the Premier League is a bubble and subsequently bursts, more the money is drawn out of the game, then the importance of the FA Cup will come to greater prominence because there is more money in it. But it won't. What it won't alter is it won't alter the relationship between football and television. And television, even if they're only paying 50p for the rights, they'll still have these games on the telly. It won't be the same as it used to be, that element of the magic of the FA Cup. And its final, for example, is now lost to the ages because, you know, what we would need to happen is a economic collapse so catastrophic that no one's got any tellies anymore. I can't think for a single moment how that could possibly happen in this country.
Well, yeah. Someone now in Whitehall saying, hold my beer.
Are you ready for October 31st when people come and take away your telly? So let's not dwell on that too long.
Just to echo Terry's point, if you were to ask anyone my son's age, what is the biggest day in the footballing calendar? He would probably say the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Which I think says a lot about it as well. And you know, there's a lot of razzmatazz on that. Look, they put it on at prime time. Kids get to stay up and watch it. It's like Christmas Eve for them. And, you know, then you get to see these superstars. Yes, on television. Television's part of it. But you get to see superstars from across the continent, the best players in the world playing with the best teams in the world, playing at the pinnacle of European football. It's very different to this. This is kind of earthy and very English, but I think that the absence of that build-up and of that special nature that the day always had has been overtaken by every weekend in the Premier League and probably, as I said, the Champions League final.
Yeah, it's not as simple as just saying that football has become just awash with money now, and that's why the FA Cup doesn't mean as much as it used to. It's just everything in football has changed, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. I mean, it's as I was saying, you know, earlier, the commercialisation of the sport has reached a point now where, you know, it's almost unrecognisable to, you know, what it used to be. And even the game itself, you know, over the last few years has changed extraordinarily. I mean, I watch games, you know, particularly Champions League games now, and the way that the game is stretched, the way that the fact that you have players utilizing every single part of the pitch now in the way that they never used to before, you know, has changed. It's you get this thing. It's a kind of a metaphor, I suppose, because, you know, football at the moment is looking to gain as much real estate as it could possibly get from, you know, it from within its empire, and use every single blade of grass. Let's use and spend and acquire every single penny and bring it in. It's kind of got that feeling of permanent saturation, but it never really goes away. I mean, I was interested by what Jan said about, like, the Champions League and what, you know, his boy, you know, thinks about the Champions League. And I can understand why, because, I'm not a massive fan of the group stages, but, you know, the knockout stages of that competition, you know, under the floodlights, some of the best players in the world, you know, it's bright and it's vivid, some great football. It's a fantastic spectacle. Whether you go to the stadium or whether you watch it on the television, and usually the move to Saturday afternoon / evening for the final, I thought was a genius move, to be honest with you, because it gave it some. It's just got that extra. It's a pain in the backside for scheduling, but it's a great move because it kind of gives it that kind of climax of the season feeling, and in many respects, I suppose the European Cup final, Champions League final is, you know, from an English perspective, has replaced the FA Cup final as the climax to the domestic season.
And domestically as well, you've got the playoff final, which is obviously a much more valuable thing to win, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that is the biggest game in football, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
It's $500 million it's
worth,
or whatever it's worth.
The numbers change wherever you go to, or however you decide to calculate the figure.
But it's huge, no matter which way you look at it.
It is huge. And if you're a championship side...
Massive.
It is massive. Yeah, because the prize money in there, I think, is measured in jungles, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
I think it's 1.3 jungles.
So. Yeah.
That's massive.
That is massive. But if you're a championship side, if you've got a choice of whether or not to put your best team out for a game that will almost certainly guarantee you a place in the playoff places, or you play your best team in a quarterfinal away to Tottenham, what are you going to do? How are you going to juggle your squad there? Are you really going to put your best team out there or not?
Yeah.
And should you? Should you put your best team out there?
Well, exactly. It depends on where your priorities lie.
Yeah, and your priorities are always going to be in getting promotion, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You could argue that the emphasis that Sunderland put on the Chequered Trade Trophy last season could well have cost them automatic promotion because, you know, we ended up going to Wembley twice. Maybe we only needed to go once.
Not even at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Terry, in Germany, they don't do it like this, though, do they? They don't have 700 German sides going all into one competition, do they?
No, it's a combination of winners of regional leagues and Oberligas and other smaller regional leagues. But also it's a combination of regional cup competitions, and the winners of that regional cup competition from the previous season automatically qualifies for the first round of the DFB Pokal, which is everyone, and everyone from the top of the Bundesliga all the way down participates in that. So you have fewer teams participating in the competition, but you still have, when you get to the first round, you still got that spread of teams from you know, Bayern Munich all the way down to, you know, amateur teams playing in regional leagues. And also they seed the draw, so the smaller teams always get home advantage on the first round. So, and then they place it 1 week before the start of the Bundesliga season, so as to maximise really the possibility of a Bundesliga team getting caught on the hop while still in pre-season. And occasionally it happens as well. So, I mean, Mainz got knocked out this season by Kaiserslautern, which perhaps on another year wouldn't have sounded very strange, but Kaiserslautern are a third division club now. So you do get those upsets, but not enough of them to sort of like make the whole thing silly. So there are no good clubs left over, but with a nice balance to it. So it does come with a lot of romance, the German Cup, although the format is very different. I don't think it would be a terrible thing for the English FA to look at that and maybe see that they could do that. But I stress, I really don't think there's much broken with the current structure of the English FA Cup. I wouldn't see any need for changing it for the sake of it.
Interesting what you say about it starting so early. So it's actually stretched out across the whole season then, isn't it? Obviously, with the FA Cup for the bigger clubs, that only just starts as soon as the second half of the season starts, doesn't it? First week in January. Yeah. And it's at that one weekend that you're just about to go back to work. You know, you've had Christmas and New Year. You know, even the darts has finished. It's like, it's really got nothing going for it. Your New Year's resolutions are just hanging by a real thread. And then you get the FA Cup, and then your team gets knocked out by some no-hopers. Mm. Yeah, and then that's a really good start to the year, isn't it? So you can see why some people have got it in for the FA Cup, but really that's their own problem, not the competition's, is it?
I think that what you could look at with the FA Cup might be is to think about replays and whether or not just how valuable replays really are. And whether or not there is some wisdom in just maybe just going to penalties for the third round onward as well, because that would then alleviate the burden on the scheduling, and that's something that they do in Germany, and I think that could be something that they could think about, because scheduling can be a problem certainly in the back end of that. It is weird, isn't it? Because I mean, like, there seems to be a consensus that amongst people who support Premier League and even Championship clubs that the FA Cup's a bit of a pain in the arse. But, it wasn't that long ago when it was like, oh, wow, the FA Cup. And I used to really look forward to third round day. But it doesn't have the same kind of appeal as it used to. And I think that is a combination, where it's not perhaps treated as seriously at this stage, at that stage, as it could be. But also perhaps it's also the passage of time, and I've seen many FA Cups down the years. Maybe it doesn't have the same allure as it does do. So it could be a bit of, be a bit jaded by age and experience.
I suppose as well, if you know that the big six clubs are always going to go deep into the competition unless they get drawn against each other early doors, then really only one team is going to perhaps make it through to the semi-final as an outlier. That means that the real winner is just someone who gets through the quarterfinals. And then you sort of think, well, yeah, you don't get any kudos for doing that, do you, really?
You don't. Or the real winner is someone who gets through to the first round.
Well,
it's all relative,
indeed.
Isn't it?
It is all relative. And that's what we should always bear in mind when we're talking about the competition. Mm. Because, it's got 700-plus teams in it. Of course, it's going to mean different things to different clubs. Now, obviously, the non-league clubs also have the FA Vars and the FA Trophy. But for a team like Whiteleaf, they're right at the bottom of the FA Trophy. It's very rare that they're going to progress into that much further than they would progress, say, in the FA Cup, because they'll be going up against teams that are three divisions above them, and there the gap is just a bit too big. Mm. Right, well, we have to wait a couple of weeks for the fourth qualifying round. That's going to be on the 19th of October, a week from Saturday. They come really quick as well, these rounds at this stage. But in the meantime, there's a international break. Isn't it non-league day this weekend as well?
I think it is. It's October, isn't it? October is usually non-league day.
Yeah, they usually decide it when England aren't playing on a Saturday. And I think England are playing the Czech Republic on Friday. So we've got non-league day this weekend. So if this has whet your appetite for seeing some non-league football, then get down there. We've actually got FA Trophy this weekend. Whiteleaf are playing Tooting and Mitcham. So we'll be getting along to there. But it's going to be international break this weekend, so more Euro qualifiers coming up, and we're going to be covering those in the box set. Yeah, I know we said we might not be producing box sets on international breaks, but this time we are, because Gary's come back and he's written a preview for a couple of the A-League games that are kicking off this weekend. Isn't that right, Terry?
That's right. A-League cancelled their marketing campaign just before the start of the season. Because they're hopeless. So we're giving them a bit of a leg up by featuring them in our box set. And we have A-League football, A-League expert Gary Andrews with two previews on that. So you need to subscribe to that newsletter in order to read those previews. They will be something else.
Yeah, and if you listen to our sister podcast, the Odd Job Pod, you'll know Gary because he's the one who hosts it with me and Terry talking about James Bond stuff, which there's a new episode of out just today, isn't there, Terry?
Just this moment. I published it just before we went on air.
Yes, it's all about Never Say Never Again.
It is. It's all about it. And no, stop. Don't switch off, listeners. It's really good.
It really is. But that's all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and live from the FA headquarters that really aren't his house, Terry DeFellum, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
You're going to have all the BDO fans coming at you now. You realise that?
Yeah.
That doesn't finish before the FA Cup. How dare you? You're in trouble now, Steve.
Again.
I do not associate myself with Graham Sibley's views on the structure of the World Darts Championship.